This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We have a budget blueprint for the European Union's third largest economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Italy's new Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, burned the midnight oil with her cabinet to approve a series of spending proposals for next year. The cost of living crisis has pushed inflation there to a record 12.8% and is expected to put serious pressure on economic growth next year. So the government is prioritizing a series of measures to help alleviate the pressure on households. From Rome, the BBC's Mark Lowen explains what's in the proposed budget.
A promise of 21 billion euros to help people cope with struggling energy bills. There will be a 35% windfall tax levy on energy firms that the government says should raise about 2.5 billion euros. And then the deficit will also be raised.
So some measures there trying to help people weather this cost of living crisis, but also some election promises that the government is trying to fulfill.
Yeah, there are lots of other measures as well. There's a tax amnesty for those with tax debts of under 1,000 euros dating from before 2015. There's the fact that people who have worked for 41 years will be able to retire at 62. And then there's the most contentious issue of all, really, the citizens' income. It's a sort of universal basic income that the previous government had brought in to help the poorest, largely in southern Italy. And Giorgia Meloni has long said that that discourages people from going to work because they're just receiving state handouts. The amount of time that people will be able to claim that for is going to reduce from next year, and then it's going to be completely abolished in 2024.
And the key to making this budget work is not just government approval. It now has to get approval in Parliament before the end of this year. I mean, is that expected to be a contentious process or more of a rubber stamp situation?
I think it's more of a rubber stamp situation, given the fact that the right-wing government has a very healthy majority in Parliament. And then, of course, you know, the European Commission will be watching closely to see whether it does not push Italy's deficit too high. I think that's the thing that is reining Giorgia Meloni in here. You know, she knows that Italy is depending on over 200 billion euros of post-COVID recovery funds from the EU, that the Commission will keep a very tight leash on Italy's spending.
The BBC's Mark Lowen for us in Rome. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Checking the numbers now, the FTSE in Milan is up 0.4% this morning. Other European benchmarks are also higher in the wide range of 0.3% to 1.7%. That is despite new economic forecasts this morning from the OECD, which said it expects the world economy to slow to 2.2% growth in 2022 from 3.1% this year. To Ukraine now, where one of the nation's biggest energy companies warned rolling blackouts might last until the end of March. Yasno supplies about 3.5 million people, and it's been carrying out repairs after last week's shelling from Russia caused damage to critical infrastructure in the country. The BBC's Jessica Parker has more from Kyiv.
Yasno is part of the country's biggest private energy firm, and its head, Sergei Kovalenko, said on social media last night that Ukrainians were likely to be living with blackouts until at least the end of March. He added that people should stock up on warm clothes, but said the situation going into winter partly depended on whether there were fresh attacks on energy infrastructure. President Zelensky, in his nightly address, said both planned and unscheduled shutdowns were being carried out, and he urged households and businesses to be frugal in their use of energy.
That's the BBC's Jessica Parker reporting from the Ukrainian capital there. I don't know about where you are, but here in London, we have seen the first really cold winter mornings this week. Temperatures have dipped into the mid-30s, and it's made my bike ride into work especially frigid. The cold weather, though, isn't just a problem for commuters like me. It can pose very serious health problems for people struggling to cope with surging energy prices. So the National Health Service has been preparing for the effects of that. It's been trialing a program to allow doctors to prescribe heating for patients with severe lung conditions who also face fuel poverty. The BBC's Coletta Smith reports from the western English city of Gloucester, where the trial is taking place.
Michelle Davis has arthritis and a serious lung condition. She and her teenage girls usually dread the winter.
I tend to end up either bedridden, or in the past I have ended up in hospital a few times with pneumonia, flu, pleurisy.
But last year was different, because the NHS paid the entirety of her energy bill. It's the health service making the decisions about who qualifies for this trial, matching up patients with the most acute respiratory conditions with those who are also facing fuel poverty. For Dr. Hein LaRue, who took part in this trial, there's no doubt in his mind that it saved both time and money.
It's really easy to do. It's not more work. It keeps people out of hospital. It keeps people well. It's called the National Health Service, isn't it? Not the National Sickness Service. And actually, it's really empowering to the patients as well as for us.
Despite energy bills being more expensive this year, NHS Gloucestershire saw such a benefit last year that they're now helping five times as many people. And as I sit in Michelle's warm lounge over a cuppa...
It's life-changing. You go from stuck in bed, in hospital, breathing problems, you know, all of that, to watching your kids outside the window with a nice hot cup of tea, and them being able to come in all excited and cold and warm them up and have the heating on and the telly on with a film. It's, even if it's just once in a lifetime, I'll never forget it.
She's the proof that prevention is better and cheaper than treatment.
That's the BBC's Coletta Smith reporting from the west of England there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.